Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Friday. And listen, we got to do this, man. We got to punch out of politics and policy and all that for a minute and dive on into something that's a little more enjoyable but still has a touch of culture attached to it. We like to call this segment JP on Sports because my man JP is a sports guru who also, by the way, has the best sound effect in all of Right Side Radio, courtesy of some sorority girls at Auburn. Play it, man.
JP on Sports!
He smiles every time.
I mean, I got to.
You got to. All right, so we do this thing in two waves. The first segment is called The Three and Out, top three stories as he sees it in sports. And the second one is called The 2 Minute Warning, multiple stories at 2 minutes each. I've got a timer and a buzzer. Three and out, go, man.
So what would your reaction be if 3 years ago I told you the game of the week this week in college football is Vanderbilt at Alabama?
Vanderbilt at Alabama.
Game of the week. Game day is going there, and it is the most anticipated game this weekend.
You know why?
I know why.
You know why?
Yeah.
I'll say it, because last year it was in the same sequence. Georgia, Alabama, Georgia, followed by Alabama, Vandy.
Yep.
Alabama beat Georgia last year and then lost to Vandy.
Yep.
And everybody wonders, are we in repeat? Are we in, like, Groundhog Day?
And Vanderbilt is having a heck of a season of their own this year. They're currently 5-0 and ranked 16th in the nation.
That's true.
So, and it last year it was kind of like a repeat of Alabama 1969. Beat Ole Miss at Legion Field against Arch Manning in a crazy game. Won at last second, and then the next week went to Nashville, and Bear Bryant's team lost to Vanderbilt. So hopefully there's not a three-peat of that situation happening this time around. But, you know, it's all eyes are on this game in Tuscaloosa, not only because of what happened last year, not only because Vanderbilt having a heck of a season this year. It's the same quarterback that ran all over Alabama last year, had an amazing game against Bama last year, Diego Pavia, who is back. Who is talking before the season about he expects Vanderbilt to win a national championship this year, but also apparently Johnny Manziel has taken Pavia under his wing. Johnny Manziel will actually
Mr. Football.
He will actually be at the game this weekend to watch Pavia play. Apparently, some people are saying he may be on like Vanderbilt's sidelines. So there's a lot of different fun aspects to this game.
Wow.
As an Alabama fan, is it annoying that Vanderbilt beat Alabama last year? Yes. But it is fun to have a new rivalry in terms of, like, you know, Alabama and Vanderbilt, where Vanderbilt used to be a game that everybody in the SEC was like, okay, this is essentially a bye week, and we have Vanderbilt. But now Vanderbilt is making teams worried. So I do think this is going to be a really close game. I think it's, no matter who wins, I think it's going to come down to the wire. I do think the home field advantage for Alabama may give them an edge.
Sure.
But I do think this is going to be much. I think it's even going to be closer than the Georgia Bama game was. So you
got Johnny Football on the sidelines.
Yep.
And you've also got all their ACT scores are higher than Alabama's.
That's true. There's been a lot of controversy too because Theo Vaughn is going to be the guest picker this weekend in Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
Theo Vaughn is a Vanderbilt guy.
Is he really?
I didn't
know that.
He lives in Nashville. Heyman, Diego Pavia are good friends. So a lot of Bama fans are upset that they're coming to Tuscaloosa and their guest picker's a Vandy guy. But Saban is on the panel too, so it's essentially like we got a Bama guy. But
that's true.
But there's a lot of byes this week. Auburn's got a bye. Tennessee's got a bye. So the two ranked game this week are Alabama-Vanderbilt and Miami-Florida, Miami-Florida State. Which could be close, but Florida State's coming off of a brutal loss to an unranked Virginia, so I think a lot of people are expecting Miami to win this one. But game of the week is Bama-Vanderbilt.
And the rankings are Bama and Vandy are what each?
Bama's 10, Vanderbilt 16.
Wow, okay.
So.
Wow. This is going to be a game. What time is it going to kick off?
2:30.
2:30 kickoff,
prime time.
Slot. All right. That's one. What's two?
MLB playoffs are now underway. We got the wild card weekend is now over, and now we're on to the division series where we got the Cubs and the Brewers, we got the Yankees and the Blue Jays, Dodgers and the Phillies, and then the Tigers and the Mariners. So a lot of good teams are still passing. We had a Yankees-Red Sox rivalry to start off the wild card series there where the Yankees came out on top, won the series 2-1. And I think the best series, though, in terms of team-wise this week is Dodgers-Phillies, where I just want both teams to lose. If that was possible, I just want both teams to lose that game. But the Cubs-Brewers is a pretty good one as well, but I think the Brewers have got the better team. Yankees should beat the Blue Jays, I think. And the Tigers have now bounced back from being the laughing stock of MLB the last couple of years. They're now a legit team. So, actually, I think the Tigers are going to win the Mariners game, or the Mariners series there. But I think, like I said, the series that is the best one, I think, is Dodgers-Phillies, unfortunately. We got to watch. I don't want to root for either team. I'm just not going to watch the series. So
you got to find some joy in baseball.
Yeah. But also, big news, kind of expected. Braves manager Brian Snitker did retire this week. He is going to – so this past season was his 49th season in the Braves organization.
Wow.
He worked his way up from minor leagues all the way up to being a World Series champion manager for the Braves. But for his 50th year, he's going to transition into a, quote, advisory role. But he will no longer be the manager. I think it's probably about time. So now the Braves are in coach-looking mode, coach search. So it's going to be fun. The Braves haven't had to have that since Brian Snitker took over, what was it, in the mid-2000s or 2010s. So it's a new era for the Braves. But I think it's, like I said, it's probably about time. But it's going to be interesting who they find to fill Snitker's shoes there. It's going to be big shoes to fill.
All right, that's two. What's three?
WNBA drama keeps getting better.
WNBA.
I love it. Okay,
the gift that keeps on giving.
It's not only Caitlin Clark now that is going to war with the WNBA. Nafisa Collier, who is a star player for the Minnesota Lynx, took to the postgame press conference to write a full or to say a written statement about her disapproval with the WNBA and how they were handling things officiating wise, but also how the WNBA league is treating its star players. So she called out the fact that she apparently had a meeting with Kathy Engelbert, who is the WNBA the commissioner. And apparently when she brought up her concerns, Nafisa Collier, to the officiating and how Caitlin Clark is constantly, you know, getting beaten up on the court, really, and there's so many other star players that are getting injured. And apparently Kathy Engelbert, the commissioner, said that, Caitlin Clark should be just happy the WNBA gives her the platform.
Oh, yeah.
To make $16 million off the court.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like...
like, that excuses it.
Are you serious? So, the WNBA's view, obviously, is what the WNBA does for its star players instead of what the star players do for the WNBA.
Wow.
Need I remind you, the WNBA in its entire history has never made a profit. Okay, so this is a league that could use some star players like Caitlin Clark, like Angel Reese, like Paige Beckers, like Nafisa Collier, and whenever they come and they say, look, the officiating is terrible across the board, you got to protect your star players, and the response is, well, you guys should just be glad that the WNBA gives y'all a platform that you can make so much money. That is not the right response.
No.
And I'm actually glad to see that there's other players, a bunch of coaches and players are backing Nafisa Collier, including Caitlin Clark. So hopefully we can have sort of a player-led coup, so to speak, to get somebody better as WNBA commissioner that's actually going to treat its star players well and realize the gems that they have in Caitlin Clark and the other star players and actually use it to like a tide that can rise all boats.
Can I just say, too, Lawyer Phil talking for a second.
Yep.
That whole thing about, well, we give her a platform to go earn that money. Guess what? If you do something that negligently or recklessly ruins her chances to make
exactly.
that $16 million,
that's on you.
Then you're liable.
Yep.
So and she would have a lawsuit if they weren't doing anything to protect her. And allowing these beatdowns to take place,
yep.
And she lost her income because of it, that's damages.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think the WNBA it'd be a much better way to go to try to protect the people and the players that are going to make you popular, because without them, the WNBA historically has struggled. So.
And Caitlin Clark, I want to be your attorney. Yeah. And no representation made in the quality of legal service before.
Yeah, exactly.
It's bad.
That's
three?
Pretty much it.
Oh, that's it. That's already, it. The whole first segment. Okay, that's
time.
All right, let's take a break right now. That's round one.
My bad.
Wow. That's round one of JP on Sports. We come back for round number two. We call it the 2-minute warning. He's got time, but it's only 2 minutes, and I've got a timer and a buzzer. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going to round two of JP on Sports. I'm getting my stopwatch ready because this is the one that we call the two-minute warning. He's got 2 minutes per story. I've got a timer and a buzzer. First one, 2 minutes, go.
Well, we've talked about it several times throughout the week, but I got to talk about it again. Paul Feinbaum for Senate. And I'm putting up a funny picture here.
Oh, wow.
Paul for U.S. Senate.
Paul!
You know, first of all, I think the Jeff Poor's angle on it of potentially, you know, somebody in D.C. not liking the field and seeing Feinbaum's name ID to maybe spoil the race, I think that seems like the most logical thing here. But I thought it was interesting because Steve Marshall, who's actually going to be on the show later today, he was on Jeff Poor's show on Wednesday and pretty much called out Feinbaum, which kind of adds on to it of like, if he wasn't worried about Feinbaum, then why would he be saying something like this? But anyways, he brought up a comment from Feinbaum in 2019, I believe this was, where he called President Trump a child, or he's acting like a child. The context here is something with his response to the protests in the NFL with people kneeling, or maybe in the NBA. But Feinbaum claimed that Trump's response to players kneeling was him acting like a child. And Marshall pretty much said, well, he claimed to be a conservative, claimed to be a pro-Trump guy, and that ESPN wasn't letting him interview Trump, and now he was, you know, this rock-solid conservative. You may have to answer to those previous comments there. So looks like things may be heating up a little bit. Feinbaum hasn't even entered the race officially yet, by the way. But, you know, looks like Steve Marshall, I don't think he'd be calling him out if he wasn't thinking eventually Feinbaum's going to get into the race personally. So,
well, he may also be just trying to keep him at bay.
Keep him at bay, too, as well. Yeah. But look, he's going to have 100% name ID.
Sure he is.
But it's a little different than Tuberville, I would think, because Feinbaum appears to just kind of be coming out of nowhere. So we'll see if the name ID helps him, but he's going to have to answer to some other stuff as well.
And that's perfect timing. There you are. The buzzer, I reset the clock, and 2 minutes, go.
So the message boards have been going crazy. The message boards are, you know, a place where college football fans go to air out their grievances with their teams and such.
Festivus, the airing of the grievances.
Yes. But the Auburn message boards this week have gone crazy about Hugh Freeze potentially being on the outs, being fired. Now, these are all baseless rumors, obviously, as of now. But, I don't know, starting 2-2 the year, and Texas A&M is a good team, but I think a lot of Auburn fans would like to see a much better offensive outing. And Jackson Arnold has really struggled to even have time to throw. He's leading the nation in sacks currently. So is Hugh Freeze starting to get on the hot seat already? If Hugh Freeze drops another game, do you think he'll be on the outs? I will say this, though. Nick Saban has come out in support of Hugh Freeze, said that if Auburn gives Hugh Freeze the backing and the support that he needs, this team's too talented to struggle this long, and Auburn's eventually going to turn things around. So you could see that as Saban backing Hugh Freeze, who he's friends with, or is this Saban playing 4D chess? Does he actually want Hugh Freeze to stay in Auburn? I don't think so. I think that was
4D chess.
I think that was genuine. I think Saban was being genuine there, but I don't know. I think Hugh Freeze, either way, is going to finish out the season, but I don't know. It's interesting to see Auburn fans already, four games in, already wanting Hugh Freeze gone.
Four games in a couple of seasons.
That's true. Four games in a couple of seasons where they expected more. But like I said, this team is extremely talented. Jackson Arnold is a great quarterback.
Yeah, yes.
And Cam Coleman, one of the best receivers in the SEC.
Austin's doing good on the runs.
It's too good of a team to struggle for too long. I think Saban's correct. But I think it's something to keep an eye on, Hugh Freeze and his job security there.
How do you keep doing it right on the timer? I mean, that's like you're on the money right now. Okay, so we got time. Yeah, we got time.
Yeah, we do.
Reset the clock. Go.
We got a big UFC card this weekend. We got a rematch of Alex Pereira going up against Magomed Ankalaev. That's another funny name, but here's a better one.
How do you do that?
You got Merab Walashvili going up against Corey Sandhagen for the Bantamweight Championship in the co-main event. Jiří Procházka is going up also against Khalil Roundtree. This is a great card.
Is there anybody named Bob in there? Nah,
okay. Listen, these are the best guys globally, so it's always fun to get different names in there. Corey Sandhagen, which is obviously an American name, going up against Merab Wallace-Fidley, who is from the mountains of Georgia. Not Georgia, United States.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a great card. There's been a little bit of a lull recently, and it's been a while since the last really solid pay-per-view, but this is a good one. Pereira, who was on a heck of a run as the light heavyweight champion, suffered a loss to Ankalaev unexpectedly, so now he's trying to get his belt back in the rematch there. And Merab Wallace-Fidley, who is on a heck of a run himself, Corey Sandhagen is probably the clear number one contender there, so this is going to be a great matchup. And then finally, Jiří Procházka, Khalil Roundtree. It's going to be the fight of the night, in my opinion. Those are two guys that are brawlers. They're going to walk each other down. It's not going to be a boring fight. They're going to try to knock each other out the whole fight. It's not going to go to the mat either. They're going to be kickboxing. So I think this is a great card to watch. A lot of great fights. But if you want my bet on who's going to win, I think Pereira's going to win. Pereira's one of my favorite fighters, though. So I got to go with my guy. Fight of the night, I think, is going to be Procházka Roundtree.
All right. How much time we got left? Because I got to do Inspire Advisors, too.
We got about a minute 20 left.
Well, then let me do Inspire Advisors. That was a great one. Good clock management on your part.
Why, thank you.
I like how we use the sports terms in there, too. Good clock management. Hey, listen, by the way, JP on Sports brought to you every single week by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors are amazing at what they do. Listen, they can help you with the best ROI, the return on your investment for your investments. But you might also want to know what you're investing in, and they can help you with what's called BRI, Biblically Responsible Investing, where you can be proud of the companies you're investing in as being conservative and Christian and patriotic, as opposed to woke and filled with all kinds of nonsense. So yes, BRI for your ROI, that's with Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. If you want to know more, set up an appointment with them. Just get to know what they have. Listen, all you got to do is go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team, Biblically Responsible Investing. They can help you, and they are the sponsors weekly of JP on Sports. Hey, I got it all in. How'd my clock management look?
You got 10 seconds to spare.
Whoop, so whoop. That's not bad.
No, it's not.
All right, coming up next, we're going to have a good time with some Butters and Lee. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys hang around because we got a whole lot more where that came from.